I agree there are certain things about certain concepts, and certainly this idea of the variability of it, that are just like tough to explain to people. And especially if you're in a conversation or a discussion, and a heated one at that, where you're trying to make a point and all of a sudden someone just stops you and wants an explanation on the variability of stuttering.
Yeah, where you're talking about something totally. Explain right now the variability of stuttering.
Isn't that interesting though? It's like, you know what else is interesting? The point I'm making right now.
That's amazing.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Stutter Talk. This is Joel Cordy of the B Team, and today I'm joined with Karen Herring and Roisin McManus. I'm re-recording the introduction of the show here because unfortunately we had a few technical difficulties and the beginning of the show got cut off. But today we are talking about how stuttering changes in different contexts. And also, I'm going to be talking about the variability of stuttering and how that's kind of all wrapped in together. So we're going to jump right into the show where Roisin asks us about stuttering in a different context. Hope you enjoy the show.
Actually, I have a question. Does it offend you guys when you're like in the middle of a conversation and like you start speaking either passionately or something about the context changes, and then people that you're speaking to comment on the fact that you're just stuttering less in that moment?
Yes. I guess with time, it's annoyed me. Like with a lot of things, it's just, okay, this person, it's a hard concept to explain to people that, well, I guess the concept is that stuttering varies. Like,
yeah,
that's the concept, but, In some contexts, it varies pretty drastically, depending on what's going on, depending on what variables are at play. So it's pretty hard for people who don't stutter to wrap their heads around it. In fact, it's pretty hard for people who stutter to wrap their heads around it. You know, it's like lots of people who stutter don't stutter when they're alone. Some people who do stutter when they're alone. But I know for the longest time, like this is probably 5 years ago, I couldn't get past that. It's like, why can I speak perfectly when I'm alone and never stutter? And what, you know, it drove me insane, I think. So yeah. I guess it's normal that other people would comment on that.
Yeah.
I think when people do comment, it's not that it annoys me so much, but it's just sort of like, I don't really know how to respond.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like when a lot of people... when people do say it, it seems like they're almost complimenting me on not stuttering much, but it was just sort of spontaneous fluency and luck. It wasn't anything that I was doing, and it's not really like a compliment. It's like, yeah, I stuttered less there. Thank you. I don't know. It's just sort of like a weird thing to say, in my opinion, because – I don't know. It sort of like points out that it's something that they're paying attention to that maybe I wasn't really thinking or caring about.
Yeah. I've really latched on to analogies when trying to explain stuttering to people, because I think it helps. And I remember I read this one specifically for this instance on Tom Vafidich's blog, of course, called The Stuttering Brain, where he talks, you know, he's trying to explain to someone the variability of stuttering. and he talks about a car. If it's going 20 miles an hour and as opposed to 70 miles an hour, if there's something wrong with the engine and it starts to make a noise at, say, like 60 miles per hour, does that mean that when the car is traveling 20 miles an hour that there's nothing wrong with the engine? Of course not. We just know that the car can drive perfectly fine at 20 miles an hour. It's just when it gets up to a certain speed, when there's different variables happening, when there's more stress on the engine, it starts to fail. That means that there's something wrong with the engine, even though it can work fine at lower speeds. Or, you know, when there's other things that are less demanding happening to it. Does that, I've always liked that in an attempt to explain to people who don't stutter some of the variability of stuttering.
Yeah. I like that also, actually.
But I'm always like trying to learn other analogies for explaining stuff to people, because I think it's pretty effective.
Eisler on the go, Eisler on the move. Brother is on the vinegar truck, and I don't know what I'll do.
The one thing that like is difficult for me in those situations, I had this person who was just kind of becoming friends with, and we started talking about politics. And when I talk about politics, I can get like very impassioned. Mm-hmm. And I basically like went off on some rant and was completely fluent.
Oh,
I didn't realize, but it was just happening. And he literally was like, wait, stop. I was like in the middle of this, like, and then like in the South, and like, and he's like, stop. And I was like, what? And he's like, you're not, and he had this big smile on his face. You're not stuttering at all. And my initial reaction was to be like, shut the f- up. Like, and then when he sort of, and I said to him, like, why would you say that? It's like, what's the point?
Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah.
He was like, well, isn't it like an interesting for you also to think about that? Like, I'm not saying that you should always talk like that, but it's just an interesting thing to think about. If you're a person who stutters and if you're trying to figure it out, that's like an interesting thing to think about. And it kind of brought to my attention that my reaction to people saying that is always to kind of like push it away, because it can suggest this something that's really hurtful, that like they were, you know, listening more keenly to how I was speaking instead of what I was saying. But sometimes I like don't even want to explore the information there.
Something about that though almost makes it seem like he knows more about this than you.
No, I mean, he wasn't like, listen, you, he was just like, that was really interesting. Like, I've never, he was just like, why does that happen? And I had to like stop myself from being like, just drop it. Like, let it go. I had to be like, okay, maybe I can talk about this, but it was really hard to like discuss that.
Yeah.
I think because we probably still don't know why that happens. I don't know.
Yeah. And, well, part of the reason why it's frustrating to me when people say stuff like that is it's like, do you really not think I've spent any time thinking about
it? Yeah, I think that's what rubbed me the wrong way.
So yeah, true. The phenomenon like, that just happened.
Yeah, chill.
Yeah, true.
You know what else is interesting? The point I'm making right now.
That's amazing.
That's so true. Oh, that's great. But it also shows that like sometimes if I'm less aware of the way that I'm speaking, this is a whole like can of worms.
But this is actually what my Stutter Talk ebook chapter is on.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think what you're just talking about right now.
Yeah,
I haven't thought about that book in a long time.
Just that when those kind of things happen and people stop me and like bring up stuttering, it always happens in a time when I'm not thinking about stuttering at all. That someone will stop me and be like stuttering, because if I'm stuttering a lot and like and you can tell that I'm aware of it. But it always happens when I'm really like taken aback, like, wait, you were like paying attention to my speech as opposed to what, like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a huge paradox. 'Cause it's like, there's one argument that's like, well, don't care about your stuttering at all. And we all have anecdotal evidence like your story where you're not thinking about stuttering and it's not happening because probably you're not thinking about it at all or something. I don't know. But then like the other school of thought, which seems to be exactly the opposite, is like you should really care and you should be hyper aware of what's going on so that you can physiologically change or modify it.
Hmm.
But they both kind of make sense, but they seem like they're completely the opposite.
Right.
But anyway, when the Stutter Talk ebook comes out, you can read all about it. But actually, that's kind of a good segue into what I wanted to talk about, though.
Great.
Is awareness or non-awareness of overt stuttering a good or bad thing? And I brought this up a few episodes ago. I think it was just me and you, Karen, where... Okay, I'll give you a little bit of background. I, during a show, had commented on how I didn't think I was stuttering as much as I usually do.
Right.
And then when I went back and edited the show... My perception was that it was pretty much the same. So, and actually right now, this episode, I don't feel like I'm stuttering overtly as much as I normally do, but it'll be interesting when I go back to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to, okay. So then I was thinking, well, if I'm kind of unaware of how much I'm actually overtly stuttering, at least while I'm talking to you guys, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because it, you know, I'm not. It's like I'm not paying much attention to it, and I'm, you know, just thinking about what I want to say for the most part. But then, you know, a lot of smart people would say that awareness is important when you're managing your stuttering. And
but
I think I agree with that.
Manage your stuttering right now?
Sorry, say that again. I think I was talking over you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, but are you trying to manage your stuttering right now?
I think maybe a little bit. No. I am a little bit. When I am getting into some blocks, I'm trying to modify them a bit to make them a little easier.
Right.
But it's like... sometimes I would argue that, well, most of the time, not sometimes, most of the time on these podcasts, I'm probably stuttering a lot more than I realize.
Just because you're so comfortable?
Comfortable and not worried about it.
I feel like there's something to Karen's question. And to what you're saying also, that like, if you're trying to manage it, awareness is probably important. If you're not trying to stutter less with like real solid techniques, then awareness, I feel like in that situation, awareness can be like a hindrance to communication.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I don't get the last part.
That like if you're trying to actively manage your stuttering,
mm-hmm.
with like tools or techniques,
mm-hmm.
then being aware is probably the most important thing that you do.
Okay.
But if you're just trying to speak,
mm-hmm.
and you're not trying to stutter less or easier, then I feel like for me, then all of my attention should go to my message as opposed to how I'm saying it.
That kind of brings me back to like when we were talked about it during our stuttering modification episode, like assuming that some of these different techniques of being able to manage your stuttering eventually sort of become second nature, then wouldn't your awareness also sort of become second nature? Would that something you would be like turning off and on?
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a difference between awareness and like self-consciousness. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Well, what would be the difference? When you say awareness, are you thinking just like from a pure physiological or
like an objective way?
Okay, and then self-conscious would be more of an emotional awareness.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I guess self-conscious is more like reacting to your stuttering.
Okay.
As opposed to, I might be digging myself into a hole, but as opposed to being aware is like to be mindful of like what's happening with your stuttering.
But sometimes you don't think you are self-aware?
Sometimes I don't think that helps me. To focus on like how am I speaking, how am I delivering my message in terms of fluency.
So when you're not thinking about that, can you still be managing your speech?
For me, no. It's like the majority of the time, if my message for me is more important than the way that I'm speaking, mm-hmm. the time, I'm usually not managing my speech at all. But that's just me though.
Yeah, I think that, well, I don't think necessarily has to be mutually exclusive, though.
Yeah, no.
But one thing that I wanted to add is that I think that in the moment while I'm speaking, I feel pretty comfortable pretty comfortable with the amount of stuttering, duration, and all that. But then when I listen back to it, I'm not quite as comfortable. Maybe that's a lot of it. But so I don't know. Is that good or bad? If in the moment I'm comfortable with how I'm speaking and how I'm communicating, but then when I go back and listen to the conversation and relive the experience or try to, I'm a little bit less okay with it.
Huh.
That's like seeing yourself on camera or like in a picture.
Oh, I mean,
like,
yeah.
Like you look really good one night and then the picture comes back and you're like, oh God, I didn't look that great. But it doesn't mean that you didn't look good or like that you weren't feeling good while you were speaking and it wasn't a positive speaking experience.
Yeah, just that's a good point.
Afterward, it feels kind of awkward.
That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that because the experiences are two completely different things when you're actually delivering your message as opposed to when you're hearing it.
Right. Yeah. And I've definitely had situations where, like, I'm speaking and I'm having a horrible experience inside. But like, when I hear it again, I'm like, oh, it doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah.
That is the experience was.
Yeah.
So it's probably like lots of things.
Yeah.
Some combination of two. It's probably some mixture of the two extremes where in some ways it's probably good not to be completely aware of all your stuttering if you don't want to be or if that's not important, but at the same time, if the actual product isn't as if you end up that you're not as comfortable with it as you would like, then maybe you'd want to be more aware of the stuttering when it's happening.
Yeah, I remember when I was being filmed for the MTV show, I was forced to really think about my stuttering a lot, like more so than I really ever had in my life. I was doing therapy during the day and then before therapy and after therapy, I was doing interviews about like how I felt about things and my speech, and it was just like so much thought on that for so long. And it like, I think for a while it affected me in a really negative way. Like I was thinking about my stuttering so much that first of all, I was just stuttering a lot more because it was just like always on my mind. But it was also really forcing me to confront so many things. But then I think in like hindsight, I think having to think about my stuttering for an extended period of time really helped me a lot. So I think I can kind of do both.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope I can. I think I might be able to. I think maybe I am a little bit.
This is a really interesting subject, actually.
Could probably talk about it endlessly.
Yeah, because...
But I should probably get back to work at some point.
I love that you take breaks during work to record these.
Well, it kind of sucks, but it's not that big of a deal, really.
It's probably a real pain that...
I live like...
From 9 to 3.
I live like 8 minutes away from my work, so... It doesn't really matter.
I didn't know that you had to go home. I thought you did it from work.
I should.
For bringing your equipment.
But then, like,
sorry, Joel.
People sometimes have to come into my office to ask me random questions. That actually might make the shows more entertaining. Like, someone asks me something, and I'm like stuttering a lot, and then all of a sudden, I go to this other context where it's more friendly with my two stuttering friends. and then you guys would ask me, why'd you stutter more when you're talking to your coworker?
Because
and they'd be like, shut up.
That is so fascinating, Joel. Yeah, you ever thought about why you stutter more with him than you do here?
And then I'll just be like, that's it. That's the secret. Thank you, stranger, for pointing out that truth to me that I'd never known before.
I still love what you said, Joel, about like if we're in the middle of like a really deep conversation about something totally different and then someone just wants you to explain the very brilliant stutter. it just puts all of it into its ridiculous context.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Joel.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Bye.
See ya.